Okay, here we go. The Penn and Mega Show. He's about to get crazy and wild. Stay for a while. Don't touch your radio dial. The Penn and Mega Show. Kicking it back. Sports talk. Listen to that. And stay tuned for some giggles and laughs. Go.
Why are all the protesters so homely? I don't think they're unconnected. I'm not going to lie. I think attractive, smart people are not drawn to this nonsense. They're living their lives being successful. It's the unattractive and or dumb people who feel the need to do this to feel like they matter. Sorry.
Welcome to the Planet Mikey Show.
So she knows Mutt.
That's Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly. Now, what happened to her? She had that huge contract, and she, there she was at the pinnacle of. And she pissed somebody off. And
no, she remembered who she was.
She went to NBC.
She got all the money from NBC, and then decided, "What am I doing with my life?" She got the money, and then she became herself again,
which is always good.
She's great, man. She's a smart one.
Yeah, I used to tell people this, you know, when they asked me for advice, you know, in the world of broadcasting, I'd always say, "Be yourself at any cost." And I said that to Jeff Brown as he was departing WEEI. He came up to me. I got to tell you, that guy was awful.
He was a different kind of guy.
He's half responsible for ruining WEEI. Well, we know who did the other half.
Yeah.
Here we are, and it's Ben Kitchen over here.
Hi.
He's got a shirt on that says tit, tit, tit ands. Tit ands. What does that
mean? Titans.
Oh, Titans, right. Bill Smith over here, and that's his real name.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Have you ever known anybody named John Smith? Because that's the obviously, when you check into a hotel, you're with some strange
John
woman
Smith,
you're not supposed
yeah.
to be with. You always use John Smith when you check in. But now they check your ID.
Knew a John Schmidt. Is that close?
No.
No.
No, it's
but I've been
John, too way too German for me.
I've gotten the eye several times.
Schmidt. John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. That's my name too.
Oh,
whenever we go out, I pull my pecker out singing John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. Ba-da-da-da, right. Okay. There was a John Smith on the Patriots who kicked a very important field. He's a kicker. He's an Englishman.
Right. 80.
Yeah, he was a soccer player or something.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
He was in a parking lot of NEC, and he came on my show as a guest to the Sports World show.
Yeah.
And we went out in the parking lot and kicked field goal attempts. It was great.
Did you kick one yourself?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I made one, but he, you know, he's out there. We're having fun kicking field goals in the parking lot of NECN live on television. And then Charlie Moore came in, and we were doing fishing live in the parking lot. He brought his boat, and it has a holding tank. He put in some live fish in there, and we were trying to catch him out of the little tank in the boat. I mean, we did some dumbass shit at that on that show, yes. Because we had to. Because otherwise, I would have to do some dumbass shit and embarrass myself and my family, as always. How you guys doing? Everything all right?
We're doing just fine.
Fantastic. Anything different you want to talk about?
Thanks
anything
for
new,
asking, Mike.
Anything new in your life?
Nope.
Not a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah.
What?
I had to go visit a guy in Littleton at 9 a.m.
Okay.
That was this morning.
That's up by me.
In Massachusetts. Yeah. That's out by Worcester. It's west of Boston.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And pardon me. I got back on the highway, and I missed my exit.
Yeah.
So I decided, okay, I'm going to shut off my GPS. I'm going to wing it. See if I can find my way home, because I'd never been over that way.
Littleton.
Yeah.
So Route 119 or something.
I saw a sign that said Marlboro. I said, well, I know Marlboro. I can find my way back from Marlboro.
Craved a cigarette.
But what happened was I wound up going down these streets
took me
real close to Worcester. Let me tell you,
everything
you said about the roads being really bad.
They are.
It's worse than that.
Yeah.
It's every street I went on. Every single one.
It is the worst city in the state of Massachusetts for potholes. And it's not even close.
And then you drive by these guys that are actually working in the road, probably fixing old pipes or whatever. Oh, traffic was awful. That was quite the experience.
Yeah, I think that they, and I have this idea. It's an original Planet Mikey idea. Call it. And you know how they call certain, this is the such and such city, you know, the Elm Tree City. Make it the pothole city. And make every single pothole a dispensary. So every time you hit a pothole, there's weed attached.
Because
that's what blew, you know, that's how I busted my front right strut on my Grand Marquis, which, thank God, I have a relationship with the professionals at Pro Automotive.
If you've got trouble with your car, truck, or SUV, Pro Automotive is who to see.
Automotive. I was on the phone with Jason Russo. He's going to come on the show next week, and we're going to talk car talk.
I could tell you were fixing your glasses spaced out. Yeah, not ready for that one.
So they took care. Now, car rides like a dream again. You know, Mercurys are supposed to ride like limos. They're just smooth.
Oh, yeah. Like, floating
couch-like,
oh, yeah.
You know, like you could. And now it's back to that, yeah. Thanks to Jason Russo's crew at the Webster location on South Main Street in Webster, yeah. Of Pro Automotive.
If you've got trouble with your car, truck, or SUV, Pro Automotive is who to see.
Everybody.
Pro Automotive. Now, the thing is, too, they have three locations, and if you want to know the locations or get your car fixed by the real professionals who walk, first of all, they got courtesy car. They got everything. They do everything right there.
Hey, that was a nice car you had last week.
Yeah, the loaner.
The brand new one.
Oh,
yeah,
and now I have three cars. You know, I used to have the other Grand Marquis that was not so grand because it was older and had 150,000 miles on it. Yeah. The gray one and the Ed Marquis, and that's gone. So that's been sold. So I got my son the police interceptor.
Oh yeah,
you know, and it's a beautiful. So now, Jason Russo's crew can get used to three other pre-owned cars. I don't buy new cars. I don't anymore. They're $40,000. You know what the interest rates are?
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. You know, houses. This is another thing about Biden that people don't realize. You know, when you ask the question, "Are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?" No, on every level.
Yeah, but they'll tell you, oh, well, things are going great.
My mortgage rate on my house is 2.37. Okay, that's a pretty low rate.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're doing sevens, eights, nines for some people.
I heard 10.
So that's Biden. That's inflation via Joe, feckless Joe Biden. who can't even walk to Air Force One without looking like he's got... I mean, honestly, you want to go up to him, take his arm, and bring him into the old folks' home and sit him down and give him some tapioca. Mm. That's what you want to do with an old guy like that. Yeah, it's like it's awful.
I know, it's terrible, and they're just using that guy.
And the whole world is looking, going, okay, this is the guy in charge of America and all their brute strength on a national, on a global level.
We know who's in charge.
We're going to worry about this guy? Yeah, look at that. Anyway, Planet Mike episode, and we don't talk about
number
that.
Number 270.
Anymore. Okay, well, thank God Smitty's paying attention.
Number 270.
Because when Smitty pays attention, Ben, things get done. That's what's important.
Yes.
You know, people don't realize that for how many years were you? 29 years. You were responsible for almost every piece of production that went over the air on the Entercom. Who owned it first before Entercom? American Radio Assistance?
American Radio. They were great when they owned it.
ARS?
Yep. There was always that feeling of optimism and fun, and they were good people.
Yeah. Oh, good things on the horizon.
Yeah, great radio.
And then it was Entercom, and, you know, the AM 850 billed $47 million in 1 year. And how much did I get out of that? $47,000. but Smitty was the guy over there, and not just at that station, before that other place, legendary. And I've said this before. You're the best of anyone I've ever worked with in my 51 years of radio. And here's the other thing. I worked with Jim Bolderbrook. He was a genius. But Smitty, you're even better.
Oh, God.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
No.
If he's the best, or better than all the rest.
Yeah.
What the fuck's he out of a job?
Well, you know, because there are some people making bad decisions on a corporate level that have caused some companies to fire massive people nationwide to save money because they're stupid.
My number came up.
You know how I know he's really good? He actually already has a job. He's been unemployed. He was unemployed for 2 days.
You have another job?
Now I'm freelance. Well, it's not like a job.
No, it's but like, self. It's a self.
Yeah, so that's where I was this morning.
He's
at
got
9
clients.
O'clock. When I get that hit all those potholes, I was in Littleton recording the CEO of a big company.
That's perfect. Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing, and I want everybody out there listening to know. Okay, if you have a commercial account that requires audiophonic reproduction. Smitty's the guy.
Yeah.
The quality, you listen to this podcast, and people have said this to me, maybe not what I say or what we say is the quality of this podcast. It's the sound quality.
Oh.
It's crystal clear.
Yeah.
It always gets, it sounds like professional radio. Whether what we're saying or not sounds like amateur hour, that's fine. But it's the sound of it and all the things we put down the line. That's what Smitty, he's a perfectionist. But a lot of perfectionists are assholes about it. Smitty's never an asshole about it.
Geez, I'm embarrassed now.
Well, no, it's
to
the truth.
Us, at least.
I'm blushing.
It's the truth.
I think he motherfucks us behind our back.
As soon as we leave, those bastards.
Yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ, when they're leaving.
But you'll do great, you know, because you will. You have to.
And I gotta tell you, I thought I would feel bad.
You'll
be
in demand.
But I feel like this is great. Yeah, this is just great.
And now you don't even have to answer to the hourly availability factor. And by the way, if you have a podcast or commercial work that needs to be done, or you have a band that needs professional recording, this is the place. It's called the Pelham Island Studios in Sudbury, Massachusetts, and you can't do any better.
Sometimes known as Club 39.
I was going to say, it's not called the Pelham Island Studios.
That's what I call
it.
That's what I call it.
The podcast studio is the Pelham Island Studio, but the Club 39 is the...
Club 39.
Yeah, that's quite the...
Yeah, which is, of course, Smitty's perpetual age. That's forever.
It sounds like a porno site. there's a story behind
that's
it.
That's 39 inches. So we're brought to you by Pro Automotive. And ProAutomotiveMA.com is their website. And we also have a wonderful sponsor. We have a gun guy who we love.
Oh, Vinny.
Vinny Cedrone. He's like the leading expert on any and all kinds of firearms. Wow, except for when that happens. Shaw Sheen Firearms of Billerica.
Yep.
And we're going to have him on, too. We're going to get experts in every walk of life to come into this podcast. And I don't care what the expertise is. Let's say a guy is a guy. Let's say we get Dr. Scholl in here, and he likes to remove skin tags.
Yeah.
We'll get him in here because he's the best at what he does.
He can tell us all about that home remedy that removes them.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just rub it on your sack, and they're gone.
How did you know that's where I have my skin tags?
Oh, you'd be surprised what's written on the bathroom here at Studio 39.
That's right.
So then you got Ben Kitchen over here who's got his own radio show.
That's right.
And it's on 103.7.
I heard someone giving you compliments just yesterday, Ben.
It's 103.7 every single Saturday, Sunday, Monday. When is it?
Every Saturday, 9 to 11. 103.7 out of Providence. But it's such a good signal. You can actually hear it all the way up to that pothole-infested city, Worcester.
Well, you can hear it in my town of Upton, Massachusetts, where we don't have potholes, at least not that many.
Wow.
Fucking Worcester with the potholes. Jesus H. Christ on a popsicle stick.
Yeah.
You know, if Jesus were here with us in the studio, he'd like that line.
He'd slap you.
No, he'd like that. He'd say, that's pretty good. Oh, Jesus H. Christ on a popsicle.
He'd probably think, I never heard that one
before. Do you know what the H stands for?
Holy?
Harold. Did you know that?
No, I thought it was holy this whole time.
Nope, it's Harold. It certainly isn't for Hamas. By the way, I hate those fuckers. Now, here's what's going on in this world today. Okay, just a quick check on the world.
Is this news?
Sort of. Well, yeah. Okay. If you want it to be, it can be. We're highbrow on this show, aren't we? Somebody had to get up, turn the heater off.
Furnace, goddammit.
Yeah, you got to have that. By the way, in Italy, they call it fornace.
Oh, well.
What are we talking about? Oh, Hamas. Yes. All right, these protests, first of all. Does anyone stop to think for a second that in all of the Middle East, you know, with due respect to Saudi Arabia, which is they're relatively organized for a Middle Eastern country, that the whole place is a bunch of shithole countries except for Israel. Israel is the best country over there as far as good countries, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So what happened to start this whole stupid thing? Well, Hamas said, well, you know, we're going to go in there and kill some Jewish people and rape some women and kill some babies and shit. You know, shoot some old ladies in front of their husbands and then shoot the husband in front of the old lady. Like, they're nasty terrorist assholes, Hamas. They always have been. And if they're the people that are running the country that the Palestinians are backing, I don't know that they're not forced to vote for them. I don't know how they got elected, though, right?
They did, and it's because Hamas is a nasty-ass organization.
Yeah, they'll kill you if you don't vote for them.
That's pretty much it.
Right. So then they say, okay, we're going to go into it and we're going to kill all these hundreds of people and rape all these women. And we started it. In other words, Stallone, you drew first blood. Well, guess what? The first blood, things were fine over there, and then all of a sudden they had to do this shit.
Yep.
Then a war breaks out, and of course, if you're any kind of leader of a country like that, you're going to say, well, we're going to get all those hostages back. A, B, we're going to kill the people who did this.
Yep.
And that's how you operate revenge.
Well, that's where the misconception comes in. These kids are out there protesting. Palestine's got to be Palestine. Palestine, the Palestinians, the Hamas controls the Palestinians.
Right.
So they're going after Hamas as surgically as they possibly can. There's always going to be collateral damage. But my God, man, what's wrong with these?
You people? Can't come back to this country and say to the people, the Jewish people of the world, oh, what, you know what, we're going to get you. Why? Because we don't like Jews.
Yeah.
Well, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. It's ridiculous. And guess what? Here in America, like, you know, we don't have banks being robbed by Jewish people. We don't have street violence being, you know, done by Jewish people. It's like, and they've been our ally, our only and our best ally over there for the longest time. We can't, as Americans, say, okay, anything but go ahead, get Hamas, kill them all, get the hostages back, and then we'll talk.
Yep.
If you have anything, or they say, we're gonna have a, you know, we have to have a conversation about this. No, you started it, Hamas. You should die. That's all. I'm sorry. That's the way it is in my mind.
You're
anyway.
Not sorry.
You're not sorry, Mike. Come on now.
How can you stand with anybody but the Jewish people of the universe? Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I'm going to say about that.
That was good.
It's true. Now, can I say something nice about someone?
Go ahead.
Derek White.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Derek White?
Derek White. Yeah. See, they say white guys can't jump. Derek White on the Celtics. He's one of the most beautiful. He's my favorite Celtic in a long, long time. He does everything right. He's never a jerk. He rebounds. He blocks shots. He makes clutch threes. That guy is a true Celtic, and I love him. Love him. There.
So he plays in the classic traditional sense of the great Celtics of yore.
I mean, Ben, have you ever seen anybody that does everything right like him?
No,
I mean Larry. You know, Dennis Johnson was great at his position.
Well,
but
I mean,
guy's impact.
It's Dennis Johnson like, isn't it?
Kind of is.
Not the biggest numbers out there. If you're comparing,
but he had 38 last
era.
Game. I mean,
yeah, but I mean, traditionally you look at it, he averages like 15 points a game through the season, right?
Right.
And he can put up those huge moments, but
and
he's
eight
just always doing the correct thing.
Yep.
And when you need him to take over, he can take over.
He's a winner, winner, winner. And I'm a Derek White fan for life. He's a classic Celtic. He belongs on the list with all those other guys as of even now. I mean, he's got much more to contribute.
How old is he?
29?
He's got to be
29.
I don't know.
Late 20s.
Can we Google that?
He is, I'll tell you right now.
See, Ben's Mr. Google on this program.
He is. Mr. Google.
I got my hands full over here. I got
29.
20, that's what I said.
29 years.
I'm good. You know, I used to work at the Riverside
turns
Park.
Turns 30 on July 2nd.
Guessing people's ages and their weights.
Yeah.
And I got in so much. I used to, when a woman would get up there, I always take 5 years off. She looks 63. I'll say 58. She goes, thank you. And then a girl would get on the scale. Okay, guess your weight. And I'd go, 250. She'd go, and she'd be like 241, and she'd be like, here's your straw hat, you fat thing.
Oh,
get
man.
Out of here.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
So, I like to say nice things about people on the podcast.
Yeah.
Have you noticed? I hardly ever go off on anybody.
It's not
true.
At all?
Yeah.
Never heard you say a bad thing?
Mutt.
I want to talk.
Mutt.
Mutt. The things I say about Mutt are, A, are they true, and B, they're as nice as I can be about him.
Oh, man. Okay.
Did you hear that they're going to have a queer, or they already had it, actually. It happened on the 28th of April. A queer chef festival?
No.
Yeah, I know. I heard it on, like, I was listening to NPR or something, and I heard this whole thing, and they were promoting this. And I'm thinking, this sounds good. It's a food festival. Then they're saying, well, this is all LGBTQ chefs only, now, which is not inclusive because it leaves out guys like us.
Hold on. Do they eat different food than we do?
I don't know.
Gay food?
They probably eat it differently.
I don't know.
You know, I mean, they might eat the hot dog differently than you do. But the fact is, the big queer food fest. I know, I'm on a roll.
That's
with
like
the hot dog talk,
keep,
huh?
Keep going.
Yeah. Like, you got that much of a kick out of yourself.
Where do you see this wiener? The Big Queer Food Fest, a pioneer in showcasing LGBTQ and culinary talent, is thrilled to announce the latest event in its On the Road series, featuring food-focused events with LGBTQ plus chefs across the country. Now, the evening in Boston was at the High Street Place Food Hall, and it was hosted by acclaimed chef and restaurateur and apparently queer person, Tiffany Faison.
Well, there you go.
Now, they have sponsors. They have a stellar lineup. I don't know if you're familiar with these names, but some people are. Celebrity queer chefs, including Tiffany Faison, Kareem Queeman. Did they leave the R out of that? It's Q-U-E-E-M-A-N. I think they left the... Karen Akunowitz, Tatiana Rosanna Dana, Michelle Ragusas, and Robert Gonzalez. Now, attendees have the opportunity to sample delicious bites from LGBTQ chefs and restaurants, complimented by beverages from Provincetown Brewing.
Bingo.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
And Super Gay Vodka. Did you know there was a brand called Super Gay Vodka?
No, but I think I would like to go to this event and imbibe.
Right. Give me.
Why?
Yeah, go to the bar and say, "Can I get a Super Gay and lemon, please?" And they will, "Excuse me." Anyway, my problem with it is, and it's probably awesome food, but you are basically saying to people who are straight, "You're not welcome here," right?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Or either that or they're celebrating their particular lifestyle.
Their queerness.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nowadays, of course, there was a time, a year or 2 years ago, if you called somebody queer, then it was an insult and they could get mad at you. Now they prefer to be called queer.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm off the hook on that.
That's a...
Nobody can bitch at me about saying that word queer.
Okay.
Now, you know the LGB is L is lesbian.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Yeah, LGBTQ.
LG. Lesbian, gay, bisexual.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're bisexual, don't you have like twice the opportunity to have sex than anyone else?
Of course.
Yeah. Just playing a numbers game.
What's T stand for? Transvestite?
Trans, yeah.
Transsexual?
Are
those not the same thing?
What is a cross-dresser? Let me ask you this. This is another thing. I don't know. This gender shit. I got to ask questions. If you're a cross-dresser, which means you dress in women's clothes, but you still have your penis.
Yeah.
That's a cross-dresser as opposed to a trans, right?
Now, is that just dressing or are you having sex as well?
I don't know.
Oh.
But if you're trans, does that mean you've had your unit removed and you don't have that anymore because you've made a change?
Might be just a state of mind.
See, I don't know. These are things I don't know. Not that I need to know, but I figured the story was kind of... If there's
it's like
time
how
to
many
ask,
licks to the center of a Tootsie Pop. The world may never know.
That's a very... By the way, you like old commercials? Is that
I what
is that, you got that old... That's an old commercial.
It's a very old commercial.
You know what I know?
What do you know?
I know the Tic Tac commercial by heart.
No.
Come on, play it.
No.
Let's do it. We call it up.
Put a Tic Tac in your mouth and get out of life.
It's a clean, fresh explosion of men.
Put a Tic Tac in your mouth and get out of life.
It's a clean, fresh explosion.
It's Dennis Leary.
Of men. Put a Tic Tac in your mouth and get out
of life.
It's a clean, fresh explosion of mint.
She weighs about 250, that lady.
Oh, my God.
All right, so anyway, now, moving on to the entertainment part of the program.
Yeah.
So you missed the chef. The
Show
LG-
your daughter how much you love her.
You missed the event that had all the queer-made food, right?
Yeah.
I bet you it was good, though.
Yes.
Details. Yep. Details.
Details.
All about
right.
The details.
Yep.
I was watching. Oh, I heard on radio. First of all, are you Madonna fans?
No,
yeah, not really.
No,
good. I hate her.
No,
I hate her.
Don't like her.
Good. Then I can say this. She like for the 10th time in a row, showed up late for her concert.
Oh, I thought she, now, she fell down again on the stage.
If there's an insult you can give your, 15,000 people that have showed up and paid $180 a ticket to see you because you're Madonna, you fake, you've totally, she's a plastic person now.
Yeah.
She's made up of, artificial parts, plumbing supplies and stuff.
She's become the like Cher.
Oh God! And that's another woman I can't stomach. Anyway, what happens to these divas?
Don't know.
Do they just automatically become assholes when they get all menopausal?
Don't know. What happens to those Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Fuck them. So here's the thing. Madonna shows up late for all these shows. These people are waiting. The show time said on ticket says, 8:15 or 8:30 on the Madonna ticket. You're holding in your hand when you go in there, and you're going to save that ticket because you love Madonna. You're going to stick that in your mirror.
You expect she's going to be there early considering how old she is.
You would think,
she
right
has
after
to
she
be put to bed.
She goes to the Golden Corral and she goes right to the show. Right. So
after Andy Griffith.
The thing is, you know what? I loved Aunt. I had a crush on Aunt B.
Well.
Oh, Andy. So she gets late. They're late, but not like, the show doesn't start at 9, which is late enough. Not 9:30. 10:30.
Well, it was supposed to start at 8:30?
Yeah. 2 hours they're waiting for her. And it's like, if I was in that audience, I'd say, you know what? Fuck this show and this ticket and the money I spent. I hate Madonna's guts and walk. I would walk out.
I want my money back.
I would walk out, guys. Would you?
I wouldn't go.
Would you? Okay, well, let's say you went. Someone coerced you. Would you wait 2 hours?
No.
Not unless they told me after the 2 hours were over, I could whip her on the ass with noodles.
What if you had great seats, though? What if you're way
up front?
Cool
noodles?
What?
What if you were sitting way up front?
Then I'd be afraid of germs. Because she's very germy. Oh, man. Anybody that dated Dennis Rodman is carrion, okay? Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, don't you think?
You might have something there.
Hoy. Anyway, so that's enough about her. I like to alternate saying nice things and bad things. Nice things, bad things. Let me say something nice.
Like, you don't sweat much for a fat girl.
Right. Yeah. Or you sweat like you're the third most sweaty fat girl I ever danced with. Oh, man. That's a compliment. Because imagine being first. All right, I'm sorry. Now, I like to say nice things about people alternatively, so let me just...
I'm sorry, too.
Let me just say this about the surprising Red Sox pitching staff. Mm. Oh. I've been a Red
They're
Sox
all
fan
hurt.
Since 60-something. They have really done well. These guys, and I thought they were going to suck ass. They've done pretty well. And it's the bullpen that's been screwing them over. And by the way, they're over 500. What are they, 17-13, the Red Sox?
Yes, they are.
Which is a shocker. I would have thought they'd be three, four games under 500 instead of four games over. And they've blown a couple of big ones, too. And the bullpen has been letting them down a little bit. And I don't know any of these hitters. They're all from, Hispanic countries. And I don't know who they are or where they played before. But they're doing pretty well as a team, surprisingly well. So I'm saying that as a guy who hasn't been to Fenway Park in 8 years, mm-hmm. that I'm actually watching these games.
You're back into this team a little bit?
I'm watching them. I'm going to hang with them until they start to suck, which they inevitably will.
Just a little sample?
Yeah, a little sample. So did I say something nice about somebody?
Yeah, you did. You did? Jason Rousseau, he's just chimed in on the text line.
Yes.
He said he just got that jingle.
Yeah, the jingle.
Yeah, I sent it to him.
Good.
He says, dude, that's awesome, LOL.
Well, he's awesome, too, and so's Pro Automotive. Oh, did I say Pro Automotive?
You said Pro Automotive.
If you've got trouble with your car, truck, or SUV, Pro Automotive is who to see.
Pro Automotive.
And Pro Automotive FM. So now it's time for me to say something about somebody.
Oh no!
Yeah, I got it.
Oh no! Who's it going to be?
I saw this. She was on MSNBC. I tuned into MSNBC when I needed a little, a fix of hate.
Katie Turr.
No, she. By the way,
with Nancy Pelosi.
Yes, Nancy Pelosi said she was. Katie Turr is a Trump apologist.
I know. Imagine
that's
that.
What senile Nancy Pelosi said. That
well, Nancy got pissed right away. She got pissed and decided that she's going to fling a little
one
at her.
She's a decrepit.
I know, man. It was unbelievable.
She's a piece of Jesus crust.
Oh.
Molly Jong, have you seen her on MSNBC? Molly Jong.
I never watch MSNBC.
Oh, but just for laughs, you should.
Okay.
I watched it, and they had this guest, and she's a writer for something. Molly Jong Dash Fast.
Okay.
Stupid name. And by the way, you look at her, you go, ugh.
Oh.
Well, this sounds like something the cat threw up. She has three, four different colors in her hair. She's so stupid, she can't even make up her mind as to which color she wants her hair to be.
Pink, blue.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, of course.
Streak blonde. And she just, and she wears these ugly glasses.
I belong to the group.
And she's on there doing, saying stupid shit. And I say, well, they go to her as an expert. And it's like, oh, here's, I don't know what she writes for, Axios or somebody. I don't know. Here's Molly Jong Fast. Sounds like a human typo. And then she says stupid shit and on a stupid network that's filled with stupid people.
Does she have pronouns? That
she it. That's her pronoun. That's her pronouns. By the way, when I get someone tweets at me and, they, and I look at their profile and it says he, him, I automatically just ignore that.
Yeah, me too. See you later.
I, you know what? I don't give a shit what you think or say.
Yeah.
He, him. He, him right over here. I got you, he, him.
We're cool.
The other thing I don't like that Democrats always do is they overuse the word fascist. Yeah. They, especially the hardcore ones that are like, you know.
They accuse us of being fascist. Fascism. They act like.
Well, they're just, they're taking that out of Republicans' playbook. They're like, well, they call everything communist, so let's go fascist.
Well, but you know what? I tweeted the other day. With
someone, nobody knows what it means.
Someone said, would you support a Trump DeSantis ticket?
Yeah.
And I wrote, yes, I would.
Yeah.
Because shit would get done. Someone tweets back to me, yeah, shit like fascism. you know what? Right? Come on, yeah, douchebag.
Go burn down the college.
That's so stupid. Like, you know, we had 4 years of Trump. Was there mayhem going on? Did democracy fail?
Yeah.
When Trump was, did interest rates go to 8-9%? No. Did credit card debt exceed its all-time limit, you know, in America? Were there three wars going on? No. None of the bad shit that everybody said would happen. Was there, you know, raping people in the streets?
Yeah.
Come on.
But they accused him of
fascists.
It.
Yeah. You're fascist.
Going to start World War III.
Honestly, they lose all credibility when they use that word. Because the real fascists, look it up. Look it up and see what they did and compare it. And I ask the question again, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, Ben? Aside from your cute little boy.
That's the only reason I'd say I'm better
off.
Yep. There's nothing to do with politics.
I knew it. But and that is a good thing. But that wasn't because Biden didn't do that. 11.
Sure, hope not.
Okay, so now here's the effect of no one thinks about this or talks about this, but I know that Bill Smith understands it, and Ben Kitchen will understand it as soon as I make him understand it. The effect of the Census Bureau decision to allow the census numbers to include all undocumented illegal aliens.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, how can that possibly affect the, well, because of congressional allotment, how many congressmen you get is based on population, and they count, if they count all the people, like in L.A., for example, where there are, you know, 12 million illegal aliens living. It's the leading state with illegal aliens. Well, what? They get more Congress people there because they let people cross the border.
Yeah.
Is that fair to the rest of the country?
Well, they call them residents, and they confuse that with citizens.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's only citizens who should affect the outcome of an election.
Correct.
In a republic like this.
Yep, and so, vote, yep.
But that's not how they have it set up.
That's right.
They have it set up where, wherever the illegal aliens are, they're going to get more Congress people, and guess what that gives them? That gives them power in the government.
And where do they distribute them?
The people?
Yeah, all these illegals in all the swing states.
Well, yes, yeah. And you know, I mean, California already has much more power than it deserves. You know, that guy, I call him Gavin Newsom. He sucks.
There's a great interview with him and Adam Carolla. It's on X. You'll see it. It's great.
Is it?
Adam puts his feet right in the fire and holds them there.
Good, because he's really good at that.
And what's his name? Newsom starts to squirm. I was surprised. He's normally quick with his, you know,
New squirm.
Fast talking and all that. He didn't quite know what to
Greasy
say.
Greasy Gavin. He is a typical California bullshit politician who was connected to the Pelosi family, speaking of her, and Big Oil. He was friends with descended from some friendship of Getty, Getty Oil. The guy's a piece of shit.
He says nice things about you, Mike.
So here's what I'm going to just do to solve that problem, because here's something they don't realize either. They say there are 11 million undocumented people in this country. Okay, it's actually 20 to 30 million.
Yeah.
What they're not looking at is how much money is leaving this country and going back to the homelands of the people who are working here. They're sending money back to Venezuela or Cuba or wherever they are. And that's done by NGOs, mm-hmm. non-government organizations. And this is referring to the state of Florida. They did a huge 18-month investigation into where's the money going and who's sending it out. Well, the NGO contractors hired by the Biden administration, they're investigating them. Because they try to resettle illegal aliens in Florida, they're finding out that the NGOs have lucrative contracts funded with public money.
Oh.
So, and then what happens is they don't vet the sponsors of the unaccompanied alien children. So guess that's basically child trafficking.
Of course it is.
So they don't vet those people. They just say, oh, you're the guardian? Okay, here you go. Here's the kids. Go ahead, take them. They don't prove that they're related. They don't prove that they're they don't identify them. They just say, oh, a guardian showed up to pick up these kids. Take them. Now, we don't know where they go from there. That's awful. The third thing is the juvenile visas. They have these there's a loophole in Florida law that enables advocates for illegal alien minors, that's up to the age of 21, by the way, to make frivolous petitions in Florida family courts for an order of protection that gives the minor access to special immigrant juvenile green cards. So now you're basically giving them a pathway without any checking on any of this
stuff. And they can't take it away once they give it to them.
And it's totally abusive of the system. And in Florida, they're actually investigating, unlike other states that don't investigate it. In Florida, they're saying, wait a minute, we got to find out about this stuff. They're gathering data in Florida on criminal aliens, which is, hello, that's what you got to do. They have consequences that they're going to establish for egregious immigration scoff laws and TCO operatives. They're going to create a sentencing enhancement for aliens who've been removed from the United States but have returned and are committing crimes in Florida because that's being abused. Also, more identity authentication, which is hugely important. Fees on remittances. These people send $5.2 billion was sent out of Florida to foreign countries through the aliens. $5.2 billion. There's no taxes. What they got to do is they're going to put a fee on that so that all the money doesn't escape. Mm-hmm. They're trying to prevent that. No sanctuaries for illegal hiring. People are hiring, you know, construction jobs. They're bringing in all the – and they're paying them under the table. And this is like a tax evasion technique for the corporations that are hiring them. They should be held accountable. And universal mandatory E-Verify, so they know who they have working for them, and they can collect income tax from them.
Well, you've given this some thought, Mike.
What do you think?
I like the idea.
So I'm going to move to Florida as soon as my son graduates from high school. I'm going to go to Florida because they don't have an income tax, unlike Massachusetts, which has a sales tax and an income tax and tolls and the inheritance tax and a millionaire's tax.
Excise tax.
And I aspire still at my late age to be a millionaire, and I don't want them taking an extra 4%. Right?
Right.
See, I've thought about this shit.
Thanks, huh? Mike. You think about it so we don't have to.
Well, you can think about it after I say it and then say how wrong I am if you want to. That's obviously... you know, your option as human beings and participants in the Planet Mikey podcast. Partners. We're all three partners. You know, if somebody advertises on the podcast, let's say they spend $1,000 to advertise on the podcast. That's $333.33 each.
Who gets the extra penny?
I do, because I'm the one that files for the taxes.
His name is on the marquee.
I keep the penny. I'm like the guy at the 7-Eleven. Take a penny, keep a penny. All right, I'll just keep the penny. Now, as best I can. So we covered the food festival, right, with the queer chefs.
We did. Yep.
I want to mention something I don't want to get into squatters because that makes me angry. If somebody squatted at my house, though, I got to tell you, they better squat on the front lawn like the dog does, or I will shoot them. The other thing I want to mention real quickly is that why do medicines have to name their medicines after such stupid, weird, unpronounceable names. The one that struck me the other day was I'm watching and it says, so it's, I think it's for like, you know, some skin thing, you know, like what's that? What do you get?
Psoriasis?
Yeah, psoriatic. So they have this called Sotyktu. And it's spelled, listen to this, Sotyktu. Sotyktu. Why don't they just call it, you know, Chuck?
No, it has to have three syllables.
Well, but why?
I don't know.
It doesn't have to, it can't have two. It can't be like bongo. Can't they call it something where people can remember it and spell it instead of Sotyktu? Don't forget, ask your doctor about Sotyktu. It'll cure your psoriatic outbreaks, but you may want to commit suicide and get a heart attack. I mean, that's where the disclaimers are at the end, but the names, it's like, I don't know why they don't make it easier on us.
Safety?
Huh?
Let me see here.
Sotyktu?
Brand name is given to a medication by the medication's manufacturer. The generic name refers to the active ingredients. Ingredients that work to treat your symptoms or condition contained in the product.
We don't care about that. Why do they call it Sotyktu? That sounds like a word from, you know, Tasmania.
Names must be unique so they cannot be found anywhere else. That is why Q's, X's, and Z's are often used because they're not common in most other words. That is how drug makers came up with names like Farxiga and...
Yeah.
Zizel.
Now, if it cured you, if you, let's say you're flatulent, you fart all the time, and it's called Fart Caesar, then I understand it. But Farxiga.
There you go.
Stupid. I'm not saying the medicine's not necessary or you know, important to some people. So next week we'll talk about squatters. We'll talk about cars with the great Jason Russo. Also, we can talk, probably there'll be more information on these demonstrators and just what the fuck are they thinking. Mm. That'll be something we can talk about. But I just want to mention one thing about no-hitters. I did a little research on this.
Mm-hmm.
I love no-hitters.
Yeah.
And, you know, you watched the Nolan Ryan Facing Nolan
that
special.
That was great.
Tremendous.
Was really good. Yeah.
And he's the all-time record holder with 7 no-hitters.
And a great guy.
And he broke the record that Koufax had, you know, who was also the most tremendous pitcher, the left-handed pitcher of my lifetime. He had 4. Nolan had 7. Mm-hmm. And so you say, well, okay, that's cool. But few people think of the catchers that are behind the plate catching the no-hitter because they're the one giving the signals of which pitch to pitch.
Yep.
And making sure the hitters don't get away with, you know, getting on base. So there are several guys that had that caught 3 no-hitters, and that was the record up until Jason Veritek
mm-hmm.
broke the record. Now, there's another guy who had 4, but they were combined no-hitters. They weren't individual pitchers.
It's Carlos Ruiz, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Veritek had 4 no-hitters, Nomo, Derek Lowe, Clay Buchholz, and John Lester. All 4 pitched no-hitters. So now Jason Veritek, our own number 33, the captain of this.
And Schilling was a strike away from.
Yes. Was that against Oakland?
Yeah, it was.
So he would have had 5. So the catcher should get some important credit for that. And hats off to Jason Veritek, who I like very much, for his 4 no-hitter status. But the interesting story that, first of all, there's very few that had 3, caught 3 no-hitters. Yogi Berra caught 3 no-hitters. Roy Campanella, 2 Hall of Fame catchers from the 50s, caught 3 no-hitters. And Jeff Torborg, who, and I tell you this story, I met him at the Fenway Park. He was great. Former manager and former catcher, he caught 3 no-hitters in the big leagues. The first no-hitter he caught was the perfect game thrown by Sandy Koufax.
Wow.
He had another one. He caught a Dodger, another no-hitter. Bill Singer had one. He was a right-hander for the Dodgers. And then his 3rd no-hitter that Jeff Torborg caught was from Nolan Ryan. So I see him at the elevator at Fenway Park. He's going up to the broadcast booth. And I see him. I go, oh, Jeff Torborg. I said, you caught Sandy Koufax's no-hitter. And he stops, pokes me in the chest. He's like being nice. He goes, perfect game, he says, and don't you forget it. And he walks away smiling. I thought, that's exactly, and I never did. Yeah. I never will forget it, because the perfect game is a very rare form of a no-hitter. But to say, oh, I caught one from Koufax and I caught one from Nolan Ryan, yeah, I caught three no-hitters. That's pretty good. Mm. And until Veritek came along, that was the record. But while we're on the subject of Nolan Ryan and no-hitters, he almost had seven. I mean, he almost had eight. He was pitching for the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. And Ivan Rodriguez was his 20-year-old catcher. And Nolan Ryan was like 46 or something, you know. And they got to the ninth inning, no hitter. The last batter, or the last out, was up at the plate, and the guy singles to right field and breaks up the no hitter. So after the game, they go to Ivan Rodriguez and they say, you know, what happened on that hit? You know, what pitch was that, or what did you call? And Ivan goes, I put down a number one, and then he shake me off. He goes, no, and then I put a two, and the guy gets a hit to right field. So he shook me off. So then they go to Nolan. Nolan says, they said, Ivan says you shook him off on that hit that broke up your no-hitter. You know, and Ryan goes, yeah, I shook him off. He says, but that wasn't the first time I shook him off all night. Great answer. It's just such a tremendous.
So I got a trivia question for you then. Nolan Ryan had seven no-hitters.
Yeah.
How many different catchers caught those seven no-hitters?
Oh, I don't know.
Seven.
Seven. Were there seven different people?
Different catcher.
Gino Petrolli was probably one of them. I'd say Ivan Rodriguez. Oh, no. Gino Petrolli. Mike Stanley. Texas Rangers.
Alan Ashby.
I'm throwing. You know what? You could just Google the Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to.
Holy shit. That's a revolutionary boycott right there. That's a protest
that
vote.
That's good.
Nolan Ryan, no-hitters, catchers.
All right, let's see.
No, you got to put the catchers in there. The word catchers, or you're never going to get that information. Oh, see, he calls himself the Google King, but I'm over here telling him how to do this.
I got it over here.
You're a tyrant, Mike.
I got it over here.
Jesus. I mean, you know, we're trying to get out there on the streets again, me and Smitty. And Ben's holding us up here, you know. I mean, we haven't even done the musical portion of the program yet.
Oh, we have one this evening?
No, and look what time it is. It's 6:16. We've done 40-something minutes.
Jeez Louise.
47 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't say, does it?
No, it doesn't say.
Well, we'll get back to this next week, because there's no reason to make our audience wait for this.
I know.
Yeah. No,
they listen every week.
They're going to wait.
They listen every single. Oh,
they're gonna.
It doesn't. You don't have
fucking
it.
Fucking wait.
I'm not waiting. I'm not.
I got
waiting.
It right here. I got it right all here. Right, I just gotta scroll down to his stupid name.
Well, oh, his stupid name. The greatest pitcher who ever walked the earth, the Jesus of right-handers in the history of baseball. No, this is not happening.
Where is it? We're on the M's. Damn, there's been a lot of no-hitters.
There. Okay.
All right. Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
Jeff Torborg.
Yeah, we knew about that.
Art Kassner.
Tom Egan.
Ellie Rodriguez. Alan Ashby. Hey, I got one. John Russell and
Mike Stanley. That's a beautiful thing. I pulled that one. All right. So that's that totally.
You feel better now?
That totally covers the topic.
Completely. You feel better?
Don't you think so, Bill?
I do. I think so. Hey, we should say hi to John Kennedy.
Did you say? Oh, let's say John Kennedy, one of the great people
we worked with
in the intercom system.
Yeah, he's listening to this podcast right this second.
And here's hoping he doesn't have to say take Sotyktu for any reason whatsoever, because John's one of those really good people.
Yep.
Hey, what I say at the end of these broadcasts, Joe and Jerry are here now, and they're going to work a little magic for you on a musical sense with a version of Steve Miller's. Remember this song by Steve Miller?
I sure do, Mike.
How about you, Troop?
I love this tune, Mike. This is a little tune called Abracadabra.
I heat up. I can't cool down. You got me spinning round and round. Round and round. Around it goes. Take off your shoes and show me your toes.
Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame.
Flaming asshole.
Burning flame full of desire, Joe. Kiss me, baby. Let the fire get higher.
Abra! Abra cadabra, can you believe it? I want to reach out and grab you. Abra, abra cadabra. Abra cadabra.
You make me hot and you make me sigh. I smoke marijuana so I get high. Keep me burning for your love, Joe, with a touch of a velvet glove.
That's gay. Abracadabra. Oh, I reach out and grab you. Abra, abracadabra. Abracadabra.
I feel the magic in your caress. I like you better when you take off your dress.
Silk and satin, leather and lace. Watch out, don't get it all over your face. I see the magic. I think we should go home now. I hear the magic between your thighs, Joe.